Hello and welcome to the new year and a new episode of the Cade and Eric Show podcast. Wherever you get your podcasts, please like, subscribe, follow, and share with everybody you know. And this, because it's going out. This great podcast, this great fun show that I do every week is getting out there. We added just kind of some fun things. We'll do some. Tell you where else you can find me is Facebook, X, TikTok, YouTube, and Truth Social, Cade and Eric Show on all of those. And then you can see some of my other content. It's been not so much this Christmas break here. Family in town, had my kids, so it's been a little sparse as far as content creation. But the new year's here, so there's great things coming. It's 2024, my goodness sakes. Just insane. And what a year this is gonna be. So if you like things the way things are going, continue to vote in Democrats and those that are opposed to this great nation. But if you don't want any of that stuff, if you're tired of paying for out the nose for everything, gas, food, just daily living, then let's get some of these guys out of there. But yeah, so you can find me on the socials of Facebook, X, TikTok, YouTube, and Truth Social. Just kind of some fun things that about this show kind of put you in a little behind the scenes kind of stuff. But this show here is in, I'll just kind of give you some updates and things. The, for total, six countries have listened to the show. Obviously the United States, I mentioned Denmark, Canada, the United Kingdom, Ireland is a new one. I don't remember if I mentioned that or not. And Malaysia, 76 cities in total. And I still probably should count the states to see how many states. But just the states that are, or the cities that are leading with the number of people downloading and listening to the show is Dallas, Fort Worth, Keller, Minneapolis, and Arlington are the top. So if your city did not get mentioned, please share it with people and we can get more people listening to the show. That would be great. That would help out a lot. But yes, we are, this show is, it's really cool to see all this stuff. All this, you know, this whole idea just came, I don't know, I mentioned this a couple of years, you know, it came out a couple of years ago that I was going to have this idea I should do a podcast, do something, because I was just sick and tired of seeing all this great nation just being torn down by the elites, by those that just hate this country, and I was just sick and tired of it, and, you know, I didn't want to sit there, like, my personal Facebook page, I don't want it to, or other things, just that's all it would be about. I've looked back some of my stuff, I'm like, oh my gosh. So I decided to do this instead and just kind of rant on this. And it's just been great to see how many people have listened, where everybody is. It's just amazing. So thank you very much to everybody who listens, everybody who likes, everybody who subscribes to not only this show, but then I also do have like those other social media website, social media sites and things, so you can check out some of my other content there. But 2024, what a great year this is hopefully going to be. There's a lot of things to do. Japan apparently woke up on the wrong side of the bed for the year. It was horrible. They had a 7.62 or something like that earthquake. They were worried. I think the number that I saw as far as those that were killed by it were about around 50. I don't know if there's been more since then, but just awful. And then they're also going to be helping us in our defense weapons. Yeah, they're going to help. Japan is going to be helping us because we've given all of our weapons and we've given all of our ammunition to Ukraine, which is great. That's awesome. So yeah, so there's that. There's a whole bunch of other, there's a bunch of clips to get through, some articles. And since it is the 4th of January, Oh, the Epstein list is out as well. So some names that are on it aren't really a shocker. Bill Clinton, for one. I mean, there's no surprise, really. He's a sick, disgusting person. So he's on that disgusting list. Yeah, so that's been out. So it's there's a lot to get to. So obviously, you know, every show that I do, if you're new to the show, I kind of do a little sports update. College football, well, for me, is officially over. It did not end the way I wanted it to, nor the way I thought it would anyway. If you're new, I'm a fan. There's a few teams that I like. BYU since I was little. Just I've had friends there. One of my uncles actually teaches there as a professor, and so I've liked BYU for a very long time. And then Texas. Just when I moved to Texas, I just kind of found just a team to like around here. So the University of Texas, their bowl game was just not very good. I mean, it was pretty obvious. The officiating, and you know, you're just whining about the officials. Don't whine about the officials. Yeah, I mean, Texas did make some mistakes. They fumbled the ball when they shouldn't have. There was some just stupid things that they did that, you know, killed momentum and different things like that. But it was pretty obvious that the calls were not really going their way. I mean, they tied or had a season high number of calls against them. And then Washington, which apparently I didn't know this, but that they played in the Sugar Bowl in the semifinal there. They're one of the most penalized teams in college football. And they ended up having like two or three calls. So with Texas mistakes and the stupid refereeing, yeah, I mean, it went down to the wire. I didn't think it would go down to the wire. They could have. They were 15 seconds away, and they just had to get 12 yards to get into the end zone to tie it and then potentially go up with the extra point. But they did not. Time ran out, and they could not get it in. So which really sucks, because this was a fun year to watch Texas. It was just a great year. I don't know if I've mentioned this before, but one of their tight ends is actually great friends with one of my stepson, or with my stepsons. So it's been kind of cool to actually know somebody to go and play. And then his mom actually works with my wife. Just happens to be that way. His mom is an employee of my wife. So it's been kind of cool. It's been fun to sit there and watch this team to be, you know, everybody makes fun of Texas. Oh, Texas is always says they're back. They're back. Texas is always back. But I think for real, I think, you know, they went 12-1, I guess 12-2 with the stupid bowl game this year. And Steve Sarkisian has done a great job. The first year wasn't so good. Last year was better. And this year has just been great. You know, they got Arch Manning. If you don't know who he is the nephew to Peyton and Eli Manning. Oh, there's a little story. I want to talk about Peyton here in a little bit too. Yeah, since that's all I've watched is football games here this last week or so with that, the college football and the NFL. But then I'm also a Florida State fan. And that is a more, it's, you know, I've lived all over the country. I've never lived in Florida. So you're probably wondering why the crap. I mean, you got BYU out in Utah. You got Texas down in Texas. I mean, I am from Texas and I live in Texas. So that sort of makes sense. And then Florida State is kind of the blue, but that's more of a personal, my wife's, my in-laws went there to Florida State. And my mother-in-law was a huge FSU fan. And so she actually passed away before I actually met my wife. And so I have never met my mother. I never met either of them, actually. They passed away before I met my wife. So, which is, so just out of her memory and to kind of have some kind of connection to them. She was a huge, huge, absolutely huge Florida State fan. Sort of like me with the Astros. Yeah, if you didn't know that, I'm a huge Houston Astros fan. I figured in the new year, kind of get some, if I sit there and talk about these kinds of things, you'll understand why. But yeah, I'm a huge Houston Astros fan. Lived in Houston. My kids were born in Houston, so go Stros. So I'm like that. you know, she was like that with the Florida State. And I've talked about this a few weeks ago, about their ridiculous bullcrap that they got screwed over with their non-invite to the college football playoff, the four-team ridiculous playoff system that they came up with for 10 years. But this game, the game versus Georgia, was not a good representation of who this team was during the year. And it was like 20-plus starters and second stringers didn't even play or come to this bowl game. I mean, it was, I mean, if you don't know, their star quarterback, Jordan Travis, got injured in the second to last week of the season. He had a horrible leg injury, and he was done. And so, but Florida State, they finished that game against Northern Alabama. They went to Florida, beat Florida. They won the ACC championship with like their third string quarterback at that game, because their second string got injured in the Florida game. So yeah, it was just not a very good It was so sad, because I was sitting there I was watching the game, and then once just Georgia just rolled all over FSU, it was just horrible. It was horrible to watch, because that was not the same team at all that had gone through the year and done all the things that they did by being perfect, the first Power Five conference champion to be left out of the college football playoffs. So that was, I just hated that. Absolutely hated that. So they got their butts kicked, but you know, Georgia had their starters. FSU had like their third and fourth string guys. So come on, just, I mean, it wasn't even going to be close. So 63-3, just anyway. So the national championship will feature Michigan and Washington. So Alabama got beat, which was great. I was happy to see that. I was really, really thinking, I absolutely thought Texas was going to beat Washington. They should have. But there it is, such as it is. But the last thing, you know, my last hope for a championship this year, because the Astros got beat by the Rangers in the ALCS, so they did not make the World Series. And if they had, they would have won their second World Series in a row and third in seven years. So we have the 49ers as my NFL team. I've been following them since the early 90s. So we have them. They're the number one team in the NFC right now. So that was great. They beat up on I'm not going to call them the Commanders. I hate calling them the Commander, Washington. The Redskins, I will call them the Redskins. The Indians like the name. The mascot or the symbol of the Redskins was drawn by a Redskin, by an Indian, by Redskins. Sorry about that. By an Indian. And if you do a little research on it, the name Redskin doesn't mean the color of their skin. It's a rank in like their warrior class. So like if you're a Redskin, you were like the bad A kind of dude. So yeah, so they end up beating the Redskins, and then the Cardinals beat the Eagles. So that put the 49ers in the number one seed. And if you've listened and you're like, I absolutely don't like sports at all, sorry about that. But let's get into this. It's 2 weeks off. I kind of been ranting a lot about the sports world. And if you're looking for a basketball update, this is not the right show for that. Maybe during March Madness I'll talk about it. But it's just, that is just too hard. I don't like the NBA. Haven't since Jordan left. And yeah, so it's just, haven't watched the NBA since the 90s, when it was actually good, but yes, I don't care about that. And then, yeah, so let's get into this show here. So here we go. Let's get into the fun stuff, since it is 2024. There's new things to talk about, new clips to play. Of course, we've got lovely Biden clips. We've got lovely things to talk about. So hopefully you had a great Christmas, great New Year. It was great to have Christmas Eve on Sunday and where we can go to church. And it was just great to be able to do that. But the next holiday that is coming up that you can celebrate, if you would like to, is there are 10 fun ways to celebrate January 6th this year. This is a fun little fun little thing. So it's time to join together with the loved ones and celebrate America's newest holiday, everybody. January 6th. To make the most of your holiday, please consider these 10 patriotic ways of remembering the day democracy, which America isn't a democracy, almost, but did not quite die. Okay, so number one, what you can do to celebrate the next holiday, you might thinking, oh, it might be Martin Luther King Day, or, you know, if you don't think that's a holiday, the next one you might be thinking is, well, what about Valentine's? No, we've got January 6th to celebrate here in 2 days, so let's get into that. I think that, what does that line up to, Saturday? Yeah, Saturday is day off, celebrate January 6th. So the one thing you can do is share your celebration plans with all of your friends. You can on Parler. Yes, Parler was shut down by the deep state, but it's back and still is the easiest way to coordinate with federal agents. So there's, you can do all that and they can get together. You can get together with them. Number two, gather the whole family around the TV to watch the big Macy's January 6th Day Parade. This year, the balloons are shaped like all of your favorite insurrectionists. Yes, that wacky podium guy. Number three thing you can do is perform a historical reenactment of the bloody battle by wandering slowly through your city hall, taking photos. The violent surge in our nation's capital can easily be reenacted by ages 3 and up. For added flair, open the gates and move barriers to the side in remembrance of the police officers who did exactly that. The number four thing you can do is make sure you put out Tang and cookies for Trumpy Claws because it's orange. He won't leave a signed check on your podium who stole it unless you do. Number five, hide fraudulent ballots around the house for kids to find. A great home activity for your young ones is never too early to sow doubt in the democratic system. That's right. So make sure you hide those for the kids to find. You know, it's kind of like Easter. Dress up as a buffalo. Dress to impress. The buffalo is the noblest of creatures to be hunted. So majestic. There's more things you can do. Number seven, gather the family around the fire to re-listen to Trump's speech ordering you to loot, kill, and destroy. Okay, well, so he didn't explicitly say that, but what he did say was to be peaceful, but we all know what he meant. Come on, we all know it. Number eight, conduct readings of Pelosi's written refusal of Trump's request to have 10,000 National Guards on standby. There may be no record of this refusal, but imagining what it did say makes for a great party game. Your kids will love eating ice cream and pretending to be the House Speaker. And you can even have some that sparkling cider as, she's. It is a little tipsy sometimes. Then number nine, surround your house with some wire and 25,000 National Guardsmen for 9 months. If you want to be patriotic, you're going to have to leave those decorations up for the long haul. The razor wire will complete the Christmas lights, so we'll compete. Blah, blah, blah. The Christmas lights you forgot to take down anyway. And number 10, just go about your life like 99.999999% of Trump supporters did last year. That's what Trump would have wanted. Remember, have a safe and fun January 6th, Patriots. Stop the steal. USA, USA. So, if you're wondering where that came from, the Babylon Bee, ladies and gentlemen, I wish I could claim that, but I cannot. So I will give credit. So yeah, we can celebrate January 6th here on Saturday by doing all those wonderful patriotic things. Don't forget about the looting and the stealing and the slaughtering of, you know, people. So, I mean, that's what they left, and all these idiots out there that think what really happened on January 6th. But yeah. So yeah, there you go. You can find ways to celebrate January 6th. But also some horrible news. There was a earthquake that hit Japan, which is awful. And then planes collided in Japan too. So they're not having a good year so far. Their January of 2024 isn't so good. Plus they're also sending us defense weapons and systems, because we're giving all of our weapons and other things to Ukraine to help them fight. And you know why? And I've said this before, because there's so much just hatred of Jews and of the state of Israel just existing. And there's all these screams of ceasefire. I mean, you've got congresswomen, you know, you got the Hamas caucus out there screaming and yelling that they want ceasefire, you know, with Rashida Tlaib and Ilhan Omar and AOC and all these other douchebags. You know, they're out there screaming about ceasefires for Israel because, you know, Israel can just kick the crap out of the Palestinians if they wanted to, but they don't. They're out there trying to just kill Hamas, kill these evil terrorist people. But why aren't there screams and yelling and protests for a ceasefire and an end now to the war in Ukraine? Because I believe we're going on year number 2 of that, and it's just we're gonna just fund this thing forever, right? I mean, there's no, well, we mean, luckily with Mike Johnson, the new House Speaker, that he actually wants some oversight where there wasn't before, to where all of our hundreds of billions of dollars are going to. He wants some oversight and some a deadline would be nice. Of when we can kind of get these guys together and maybe talk so people aren't dying anymore. But yeah, apparently that's just not going to happen because we got to fund this thing forever. Is, you know, the big money laundering scheme that's going on. So yeah, so Japan's going to help us. Yeah, they released export restrictions to sell Patriot missiles to the U.S. Gosh. Oh my gosh, this just isn't that lovely. So Japan is going to be selling us weapons because yeah, we are giving it all away to Ukraine, to Volodymyr Zelensky. But yeah, so this is just some things. So let's get to some of these fun clips here. So Joe Biden, over Christmas break, he went to the Virgin Islands and, you know, he had a nice little party, and all that. But, he was asked, what he wants, you know, what's a New Year's resolution for him, coming next year. And, this is kind of what his response was.
Biden did share his New Year's resolution in the Caribbean yesterday. Mm. Some reporters asked him as he came out of a fancy restaurant, and here's what Joe said.
What's your New Year's resolution, sir? Anything else?
That's the biggest one right now.
So if you kind of missed it, what he said is she's like, what's your biggest resolution next year? And so he screamed to come back next year. That's it. That's what his New Year's resolution is. never mind that the country's in an awful place, the economy's in an awful place, the border's in an awful place. The last month in December, we had well over 300,000 people pour across our border, setting a record for the single, that's the most we've ever had in a month, like. So, yeah, we're doing great. So the thing that he wants to focus on is just coming back. Does he think he's going to pass away? Does he think what's going on here? But, yeah, so that's what he's doing. And he spent an exorbitant amount of time on vacation. Somewhere around 40-50% of his time as president he has spent on vacation. And then Ryan Seacrest interviewed them on New Year's Eve. This is how that went.
Here's Ryan Seacrest asking Joe Biden about the new year.
As you look back and reflect on 2023, what sort of memories, highlights stand out for you?
Well, one of the big highlights stands out for me is my dad used to have an expression. He'd say, Joey, your job's about a lot more than the paycheck. It's about your dignity. It's about respect. So many people through the Midwest and in the center of the country, their factories are shipped overseas the last couple times out, and they were losing hope and faith. So we brought a lot of jobs back to the United States. People are in a position to be able to make a living now, and they've created a lot of jobs, over 14 million. And I guess when I just feel good that the American people got up. They've been through a rough time with pandemic, but now we're coming back.
It is not going well for Joe.
Okay. So there's a bit of a Ben Shapiro there too in that clip. But yeah, so that's his take on everything. So good. Good, good, good. He's on the ball, Mr. Pooped His Pants. President Pooped His Pants he's ready to go for 2024. So that's awesome. So excited for this. And everything he has for us, in store for us, for next year, for this year. But yes. Here are just some of his highlights of 2023. You know, if you're looking for a highlight reel, spoke on sports for a while, but if you're looking for a highlight reel, this guy, here's President Pooped His Pants highlights of 2023.
Hello, everyone. This is on. Hello. We on?
Just stand there. Just stand there.
Kajan Katanji Drown Jackson. Kareem LLJ Cool J. And Joan. Shingang. 159 billion dollars. $1.7 trillion. It's a trillion. 1.4 million. One point four million. 1.48 EIGH%.
So, no, sorry, I had to pause it for a second. EIGH, 8%. A? A. He's a pirate now, E.
32nd, freestanding, have free, 30 free.
Free.
Working backwards, forward.
I also affirmed our shared commitment. We together shared our firm shared commitment.
I've been in and out of Iraq and Iraq, not Iran. Burma, Haiti, Iran, Rwanda, something from a medieval battle. To the anniversary of June 6th, insurrection.
What happened on July the 6th?
Demanded the ban on transgender Americans.
Transgender?
LBGT. Create LBTQ plus.
LGBTQ homelessness.
LGBT around the world.
LGBTQ survivors.
And the cancers we know.
Happy birthday, dear Alvin.
Prevailing wage and use registered appointment.
I wrote the Vosgoan Similar Act.
Now, it has to evolve our institutions. I forgot I didn't sign the order.
Oh, and he can't get off the stage. He doesn't know how to walk.
Lovely young ladies
It's not, you're not hot, are you?
I'm going to be a good boy.
Who are those good-looking kids back there?
Oh, all the kids under the age of 15. Come on up.
No!
Daddy owes you.
Let's go lick the world.
Go back, Biden.
I can't even say I guess how old I am.
The only thing I can say is watch me.
When the hell did I say that?
Happy New Year, Biden.
And the whole one.
Oh, that's awesome. That is our commander in chief. That's our president. Whoo. Yeah. Aren't you excited for 2024? Oh, boy. Well, there you go. Something to look forward to in 2024 is more of that. More of that guy. Okay. Well, other things that he's done. So just kind of some, a little history, a little bit of history lesson here. So from George Washington to about, I believe, Ronald Reagan, it took us that long from the foundation of the country to Ronald Reagan, and he was elected in 1980, to accrue $1 trillion in debt. So, yeah. So about, 200 years, a little over 200 years. It took us that long. So it took us all of 3 months to do that same thing. Last 3 months of last year, it took us 3 months to do that same thing. So here's a little bit more into our wonderful debt that is now $34 trillion, everybody. $34 trillion.
America's debt hits another sobering milestone, $34 trillion. Fox Business's Edward Lawrence is live at the White House and explain, what does a number like this mean to folks at home?
Yeah, it means that we all potentially could be paying more through taxes to try and service that debt or see the services that we use being cut back to handle that debt. It's not a milestone to celebrate. In fact, it's a reminder that the U.S. is on an unsustainable financial path. Now, Republicans want to cut spending. Democrats want to keep the level of spending and raise money through IRS enforcement as well as add other fees. Now, both parties partly responsible. Look at the spending that President Biden has signed into law in his first 2 years. The CHIPS Act, bipartisan infrastructure bill, and omnibus spending bill had bipartisan support. All of this, though, on your screen represents about $6 trillion in spending.
So, since you can't see what he's talking about, Biden spending into law, American Rescue Plan, $1.9 trillion. Bipartisan infrastructure plan, $1.2 trillion. CHIPS Act, $280 billion. Inflation Reduction Act, which isn't what it says, $739 billion. Omnibus spending bill, $1.7 total, almost $6 trillion.
The president for the Committee for Responsible Federal Budget says we can be a weak, divided country where our leaders fight, pander, and take the easy way out while we become increasingly vulnerable. Or we can do the hard work to be stronger, more secure, and more prosperous in the long run. Still, President Biden vowing to keep going to try and cancel more student loan debt. The cost so far, $132 billion of taxpayer money. He wants to get to $443 billion worth of taxpayer money on that student loan debt. So Benjamin's going out the door here at the White House. Dana?
Edward Lawrence.
Great. It's awesome. 2024. It's just great. The border is great for 2024. Like I said, there was 300,000 poured across our border in the month of December alone. Just kind of let's put that a little bit into perspective. Let's just kind of see what it's like. So lowest population in the United States is Wyoming, with about 580,000 people. Wyoming, right? And so just picture the population of Wyoming pouring across our border the last quarter of last year. And yeah, that'll be about right. Or, you know, if you look at, if you do it like in sports terms. So I went to the BYU-Texas game this year. And DK Royal Stadium, the University of Texas's football stadium, holds somewhere in the neighborhood of 101,000 people. So if you've never seen that many people at one time, go to one of these, you know, go to, if you're, depending on where you live, Michigan is also a great place to go. I believe probably the Coliseum in L.A., yeah, come down here to Texas and go to the game there and then just triple that. And that's about how many people came across 1 month, one single month. So, oh my gosh. You know, they're saying what, 10 million people have come across our border. That is probably more than the bottom, what, 5 or 6, maybe 7 or 8 states combined in population of U.S. citizens have just poured across our border since President Pooped His Pants has been president. So, yeah, so the total number, if you keep going up, just the total number in population, that's about the population of around North Carolina. Michigan, New Jersey, it's bigger than New Jersey as far as people coming across. Georgia, it's about that. Georgia, North Carolina, Michigan each have about 10 million, over 10 million. So just the whole population of those states just poured across in 3 years. But Mayorkas, who is on the chopping block, hopefully, to get the heck out of Dodge, by the House Republicans. They are in the process of hopefully impeaching this dirtbag. But this is what he has to say.
Border Patrol in the month of December processed more migrants entering the United States illegally than any month in the history of that agency. Why is that happening? How do you explain it?
So we are seeing the greatest number of displaced people, not only at our southern border, not only in the Western Hemisphere, but across the globe. You know, I am involved in bilateral and multilateral meetings with my counterparts from foreign countries in Europe, in Asia, in the Indo-Pacific, all over the world. And migration, the challenge of displaced people, is a subject that comes up in every single conversation. We have the effects of climate change, poverty, increasing level of authoritarianism, the very many challenges that are at the root cause of the displacement of people around the world.
So, okay, a couple things when I was listening to that. First of all, the stupid climate change bullcrap, no. That's just made up propaganda. I've talked about this before. But, yeah, there's no such thing as climate change. There's no such thing as man-made climate change. We cannot control the weather by just driving your car or doing your normal things that you do. That's just not possible. And then, so the other thing I was thinking of, if these countries are so messed up, why don't they make their countries better? Why do they have to pour across? And then I also saw another article where I believe it's like the Mexican drug cartels or things like that, where they are telling people there's things online that tell people how to, because they get what, $2,200 every time they come across, of our money, right? Our taxpayer money goes to that. So there's an article that I read recently where it was, they teach them how to come across the border and then they come back and then just keep doing that over and over and over and over again. Yeah, and you get $2,200 every time you come over here. every time you come across the border. House Republicans were down at the border here, I believe this week, earlier this week, and people are just coming across. They're just walking across, even with the congressman just standing there. They're just coming across the river. Hey, how's it going? So, I mean, not to mention that the drug cartels are getting rich off of this by getting people across our border. So it's just a great 2024 coming up here. Just awesome. Just great. So yeah, hopefully the scumbag Mayorkas will be leaving the White House shortly. So there's that. Kind of a different avenue here that I wanted to touch on. So I'm a huge Star Wars fan. Sorry, this is like way out there. But there is wokeism is destroying everything that is good and everything that is decent in our society. Hence the Redskins, wokeism destroyed that. The Indians, the Cleveland Indians, wokeism destroyed that. But another thing that is coming up on the wokeism chopping block is Star Wars. I have loved Star Wars since I was a little kid. I have watched the first, A New Hope, the very first Star Wars, and Return of the Jedi. Many kids we had, back in my day,
we didn't have all these streaming services. We had things that we called VCRs and VCR tapes, and you had to rewind those tapes in order to rewatch it. You couldn't just click buttons and rewatch that stuff. So, yes, back in my day, we had that. That's what I did. So, yeah, back in my day, yes, I had New Hope, and I had Return of the Jedi, and I watched them many times.
So that's what's coming up, is Star Wars has now been given over to the hands of some feminist activist, Pakistanian lady, whose sole job is to make men uncomfortable. And there's a couple of clips here. So this is her talking, her blabbing her face off. So tells her name and what she's going to do to Star Wars.
And I am directing the next Star Wars film. I'm excited about bringing Daisy Ridley back into the Star Wars galaxy. And in telling her story, I'm excited to be immersed in the Jedi Academy. And I think there is so much excitement around the new Jedi Order. I've always kicked open doors that were previously closed. And I think my feeling is that there is a critical mass of women who have begun to move forward in places that were previously closed to them. I've been a filmmaker and a storyteller for the last 20 years. And a few years ago, I began to think about what I wanted to do. Miss Marvel was coming around, and I thought about a brown Muslim superhero and what impact she would have on the way young girls see themselves.
So, because that's what it's always about. That's what it's always about. It's about some race. It's about some religion. It's not about producing good content. I mean, that's what made Star Wars great, was that it didn't have any of this crap. That's what made movies great before. Top Gun Maverick was, what, the number one movie for weeks or possibly months? Because it didn't have any of this wokeism bullcrap. But she goes on.
And, my filmmaking and storytelling has always been about championing heroes. Men and women who really go through extraordinary circumstances to create a better tomorrow. When I became a filmmaker, it was around 9/11. And it was at a time when brown and Muslim filmmakers rarely existed. This is our time. And if you see Joyland as a film that has come from Pakistan, if you see actors like Riz Ahmed, Kumail Nanjiani, Iman, the Miss Marvel, a Pakistani-Canadian girl, and how she's become a global icon. In the soil that you live on in Pakistan, creativity has permeated through that for centuries. Remember that you come from these deep roots and carry that through, because the censorship, the pushback is temporary. We will rise, and we have been rising. And when one person comes out, they need to open a door for another.
So, you know, I'm not opposed to seeing, you know, some Pakistanian superhero or whatever. Sure, come out with one of your things, but don't take something that is great or has been great for decades and then put your activism crap into it. But this is also what she had to say.
Well, and what's been the reaction to that?
Oh, absolutely. I like to make men uncomfortable. I enjoy making men uncomfortable.
So, yeah. So that's what she's going to take Star Wars and probably put wokeism bullcrap all over it and then ruin it. So, I mean, there's a lot of people that hated the new Star Wars anyway. You know, I loved that they brought all the characters back. I hated what they did with Luke, though. I mean, Luke. Mark Hamill hated what they did with Luke. Because he was like, that's not what Luke would have done. Luke would have been, yeah, let's go, let's fight. He wouldn't have been sitting in some kind of a hut on some island milking the Loch Ness Monster and living with frogs. No, that's not Luke Skywalker. So get prepared. Star Wars is going to be ruined by Disney. Some would say even further than it already has. So that's something to look forward to. I guess the new Star Wars movie is supposed to come out either next year or the year after or something. But yeah, so we'll see. And the Marvel movie, I did not see the Marvels that she's talking about, because quite frankly, I'm kind of sick of all the Marvel movies anyway. I mean, after Endgame, except the Guardians of the Galaxy, because I do love those guys. I mean, my wife loved the Guardians of the Galaxy movies. But besides that one, yeah, I didn't see the big hype with the Spider-Man, the three Spider-Man trio. I know it was huge and it was popular. I'm not the biggest Spider-Man fan to begin with. I'm more of a Superman guy. This is getting way into Nerdville. But maybe we should turn around, make a U-turn, head back to reality. But yeah, so Star Wars is probably going to be destroyed and ruined by some activist lady. So that's great. So good. So awesome with Star Wars. And then I saw this other clip on, I found this other clip on TikTok, and I watch it and I do not believe it's real that they would actually do this. So it's a barber, and then these guys are making fun of what happens in this shop. So you'll just have to listen.
If I touch you,
go right ahead.
Before we get started, do you mind if I touch you?
Okay, is it okay if I touch you? Yeah, okay, cool. Okay, if I touch you.
So these people are getting haircuts, right? The barbers or the stylists or whatever, they are supposed to touch you. You are supposed, you go into these places, you go into these barber shops to get haircuts, to be touched by these people.
Yeah.
Go right ahead.
Before we get started, do you mind if I touch you?
I also gonna cut my fucking hair.
Do you mind if I touch you?
Hey, serious bro, just cut my hair.
Is it cool if I touch you?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, cool.
It's usually just customary that I ask the person before I touch them.
Just cut it, cuz.
And what were your pronouns?
She, they.
She, they, too.
Yay!
Look at us. We're twins.
Oh, yeah.
She, her.
And what are your pronouns?
Are you fucking serious, bro? Just cut my hair.
What are your pronouns?
They, them. She, they. I'm glad we exchanged those.
Yes.
And what are your pronouns?
Listen, bro, I don't do that shit.
Bro, don't fucking touch me. Don't. I'm out of here. Fuck off.
I mean, that cannot be real. They cannot. I want to find out if there is an actual barbershop that does the stupid pronouns and the stupid, like, can I touch you? Well, hello. That's why I came in here, for you to freaking touch me and to cut my hair. You don't need to ask me. But yeah, that's, I'd, oh, this world is in a lovely, lovely place at the moment. at the moment it is. In a lovely, lovely place with this wokeism stuff. What I was wanted to get to earlier was that I kind of forgot was Peyton Manning. So, you know, as I was watching all these football games and the wokeism, everybody knows what happened at Bud Light. They got with the mentally disturbed Dylan Mulvaney, who he thinks he is a woman and is pretending to be this woman. He really is some kind of an attention whore and just wanted money and fame and just all that stuff. So he pretends to be a woman, which that's apparently okay. So everybody knows that that's what happened to them last year. And they, their stock, their everything just tanked. You know, nobody was buying it because they were like, screw this. This is ridiculous. But one thing that I did notice watching all the football games over the break is something that is interesting that I think the Bud Light is, they're desperately trying to get the common folk, if you would, or the American citizens back, who actually drank their beer and watched football, was just regular Americans, not this trans nonsense crap. But they got Peyton Manning and Emmitt Smith to do their commercials now. You know, Peyton comes up to the bar, and he orders a Bud Light, and then you've got the guys that are like, what are you doing ordering a Bud Light? And then all of a sudden, you know, then Peyton's like, you know what? I'm going to get a round for the whole bar. And then everybody's happy. He's throwing cans of Bud Light at them like they're footballs. And then you get Emmitt Smith coming up, and they both just hang out at the bar. And I sat there and I thought, oh, okay. So Bud Light's trying to get their image back, trying to be like, hey, we're just an American company. We're for America. Look, we've got Peyton freaking Manning here, who, I mean, I don't know. I've never met anybody who's not liked him. And if you do not know who Peyton Manning is, well, you've lived under a rock for the last 20 years or so, but he used to play in the NFL, and he's just a great guy. He does, him and his brother Eli, they do Monday Night Football. But I just thought there, and I sat there and I think, oh, okay, so Bud Light's trying to come back. They're trying to get like the everyday average American back to buy their beer. I don't personally drink, so it didn't matter to me. That I wasn't going to buy it anyway. But, yeah. So I just thought that was kind of interesting that Peyton and Emmitt Smith are doing Bud Light commercials now. Just interesting. Kind of interesting that they're trying to chummy up to the average American again. I talked about this a couple weeks ago. Another thing. That the Harvard president, speaking of wokeness and garbage, but the Harvard, the MIT, and the UPenn presidents both came before Congress, and they could not sit there and say that anti-Semitism goes against the, you know, their codes of conduct at each one of those indoctrination academies, because I'm not going to sit there and call them places of higher learning, because it's not anymore. But, so the UPenn president resigned shortly after, like a week or so after. Everybody was calling for the Harvard professor or Harvard president to resign or be fired. Claudine Gay, but she has, talking about all this trans crap, you get them mixed up. But, she has resigned as president of the university, and it's not just because of the ridiculous crap that she couldn't say before Congress. It's also that she's plagiarized a whole bunch of her things, a whole bunch of her papers and things. But this article here that I found here says, has resigned as president of the university amid her plagiarism scandal, but the media has not... But the media has already started to spin the story, accusing conservatives of course, because it's not really that they did anything wrong. It's, oh my gosh, accusing conservatives of targeting plagiarism. CNN even tried to claim that Claudine Gay didn't really plagiarize. So this is from The Blaze, which is Glenn Beck and everything. So Glenn and Stu consult the dictionary for the truth. Plus, Glenn has gained exclusive access to Claudine's real resignation letter, which is 100% plagiarism free. Excuse me. So it goes on. I'm not going to read the transcript of what they were talking about, but so she has resigned because she stole other people's work. So that's awesome. Great. That's just awesome. So she's gone. Just kind of an update on that whole thing. And of course we have the Epstein list. Maybe I'll go into that more next week. Because let's see here. We've got the Epstein list revealed. First names are revealed by court after two associates filed appeals to keep their identities hidden. Because the first 187 names are released. And let's see. I'm looking for... I'm going to sit there and read all this article. But like I said, Clinton's on there, which is, hello, surprise. Is anybody surprised his name's on there? No. But there, you know, the left is going to say, well, Donald Trump, he was mentioned too. But yeah, Donald Trump never went to Epstein's house, and he never went to his little sick, disgusting island either. In fact, they separated ways after a while. So let's see. You got Clinton, who's been to that place many, many times. Prince Andrew, Leonardo DiCaprio, Naomi Campbell. So yeah, it's gonna be a big, big list. Al Gore, Kevin Spacey, Stephen Hawking. That's interesting. I guess you can kind of sit there. But Kate Blanchett, Cameron Diaz, Bruce Willis, which is kind of sad because I kind of like that guy. David Copperfield. Interesting. But I mean, seriously, is anybody really surprised that these sick, disgusting people are doing all these things, but then they sit there and tell us how to live our lives, that they're like, oh, your lives are just awful, you should live like us. So there's that. I'm going to end this not on this disgusting guy. So we'll get more into that, do a little bit more research into that. The list is out, ladies and gentlemen. The list is out. So yes, it'll be, maybe I'll sit down and have to make a list of all the names, because this is disgusting. I don't understand that kind of mindset at all, to go after little children. I don't understand it. But I want to end this particular episode on a good note. So what I'm going to do is, let's end this with Kirk Cousins. About a minute long clip, just a second.
Between being a fan, there's a difference between being a fan of Jesus and being a follower of Jesus. And that to be a disciple, a follower, is to be fully devoted. And to be fully devoted means that you're putting in work, that you're wanting to grow, that you're making sacrifices, and that when culture goes one way and Jesus goes the other, you got to go with Jesus, even if that costs you something.
Yeah.
And we were challenged to ask ourselves, are you prepared to follow Jesus even when it costs you something? When all your friends in high school or college on a Friday night are going to go do one thing, and you know that to follow Jesus means you got to go
another way. Yeah. Are you going to do that? Or are you just going to go with your friends?
Yeah.
And I made that decision about 16, 17 years old where I said, you know what? I think I'm going to follow Jesus even when it costs me something. And that's when you truly are giving him your life.
Yeah.
Because you're really now sacrificing something to follow Jesus.
Just great. He's just a great guy. You know, because I've mentioned this earlier before, but I started watching Quarterbacks, the NFL documentary, with him, Kirk Cousins. He plays for the Vikings, and then it's got Patrick Mahomes. Of course, everybody knows the freaking Chiefs now because it's Taylor Swift, Travis Kelce. Ugh. So glad I'm not a Chiefs fan. Oh, what a nightmare. But anyway, so I really, really, really like Kirk Cousins. I didn't watch the NFL for many years. Because I just thought they just disrespected the country, the place, you know, with the whole Colin Kaepernick. So glad he's out of there. I hated that he was a freaking 49er. I really, really hate that. But anyway, so I didn't watch the NFL for, you know, a long time after that, happened, where they kept kneeling for the national anthem. I'm like, this country gave you the opportunity to play this stupid game and you're just going to sit there and, you know, kneel for the national anthem in protest of what? You're oppressed. You're making millions of dollars to play a stupid game, but you're oppressed. I mean, come on, get over your little self. So I didn't watch for a long time. Then I watched that. And I thought, oh, you know what? Maybe the NFL, maybe it's not necessary. It was just those guys then. And the NFL hopefully has changed. I think, because you've got guys like, Kirk Cousins, you've got guys like Brock Purdy, you've got guys like Christian McCaffrey, who are, you know, and that's just a handful off the top of my head, that are all good guys that don't believe that crap, that, you know, America's awful, but they're good Christian guys. And so, and it just happens that the 49ers are really good this year, so that's kind of a bonus. But I just wanted to end with that, you know, seeing how it was just Christmas, that things are going to get tough this year. Hold on to your bootstraps, because here we go. But it is, this election cycle coming up this year is going to be so important, because look at what has happened these last 3 years with this Biden administration. I mean, we went from being one of the most prosperous. The economy was great. I mean, there was the stupid COVID crap that wrecked a lot, but we were rebounding from that finally at the end, with the economy and everything. And, you know, our life was pretty good, I thought. I thought Trump, you know, when I saw Trump won the nomination and then won the presidency, I was like, oh, great, this guy. The guy that went on WWF or WWE or whatever and shaved Vince McMahon's hair, that guy is the president now. I mean, come on, mister, you're fired. You know, that guy's the president. You know, I had all my doubts. I wasn't a huge Trump fan. I wasn't a Trump fan at all at that point, you know, in 2016. But it changed. My opinion changed on, because the economy was great. Everything was, you know, our lives were good. And look at how far we have fallen in 3 years under this Biden crap. So this year is, be prepared. No, not only be prepared physically, but be prepared spiritually, because I believe it's going to be rough. I mean, we have to get back to where we were before. I have to do it. Because, you know, if we have another term of this guy and just what has happened these three just short years. I mean, we thought, you know, we were like, thank goodness 2020's gone and 21 is gone, 22 is gone, and it's just gotten worse every single year. We've been paying a heck of a lot more for just to live. You know, with food, with utilities. I mean, my wife talked about the utility prices, and it is just insane. So have to get out and get these people out of office. We have to do it. We have to get ourselves right. So welcome to 2024. Hopefully you've enjoyed the show. Remember, you can Please like, subscribe, follow, and share wherever you listen to your podcast. Get the word out. Share with your friends and family. I'd really, really appreciate it. And then you can also follow me on Facebook, X, TikTok, Twitter, or not YouTube, and Truth Social at Caden Eric Show on all of those. So hopefully you've had a great Merry Christmas, a great New Year, and I will talk with you next week. Thank you, and have a good night.